Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Full of Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? Blow my rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Tony Atlas to my Rocky Johnson, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going? Yeah.
Tony Atlas. Yeah. He really likes feet, by the way. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Wow, that's interesting.
I learned that from watching WWE Legends House, like, 7, 8, 9 years, whenever that came out.
Yeah, that was a minute ago.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that that's what comes to mind for me when I think of Tony Atlas.
May have already used them, but again, we're continuing our Black History Month theme here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I'm glad you remembered.
Yes. Like you rightfully predicted you would forget about that last week.
And yet, let's see if I forget about it next week.
How's everything going?
It's good. It's pretty good. I feel like I love that we have a theme song now. I can't wait until the day that we have a music video, like us like dancing, like that video I sent you, Mari, of the inspiration in their music video, their song.
Yeah.
That's us. That's going to be us. Look it up if you don't know, because that's the best wrestling music video out there right now.
Okay. I'll let you have that one. I don't know.
I don't want it.
Just doing like little jigs. Like it's just like not.
It's like it's 3 minutes. Imagine us like just jigging a little bit for like 3 minutes, the extended version, and just like standing next to Isaiah 8-Ball. Shout out to him for the theme song. I'm ready.
My
for
God,
it.
That is
I want it to be as awkward and uncomfortable as their music video is.
Oh, I am already cracking up.
Woo-hoo! Wrestling wrap up.
Yes, exactly. And again, like you said, thank you to Isaiah 8-Ball for that. Yeah. It gets me so pumped up. I'm like already pumped up. And I'm like, oh yeah, we got a theme song. And it pumps me up even more. Yes.
And we didn't even get to use it in the Royal Rumble, which is kind of sad. But maybe next year.
Just like Oksana and Jillian Hall, we were cut from the list.
Wow. So sad. I mean, Oksana's been cut. That's a whole other story. Look, I'm just happy to be here. Happy to have a theme song. If you love our theme song, if you love us, let us know. This isn't the plug section, but just like let us know. Because,
yeah.
Boom, boom. Boom.
And it's just the two of us today. It's just me and you. Just the two of us. Okay, we can't sing.
I would love to sing so well that our show gets pulled down.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Are we doing wrestling today?
We are doing wrestling today. Lots of wrestling talk. But let's go over the news brought to you by the Daily Smark app. The Daily Smark is an iPhone app that helps wrestling fans stay up to date on the latest headlines. You can watch videos from WWE, AEW, Impact, and more. The Daily Smark has all of your favorite wrestling podcasts that you can search, subscribe, and listen to. So download the Daily Smark today for free and follow on Twitter at the Daily Smark. So, man, okay, today.
Yeah.
Today. So, they announced WrestleMania Backlash for May 8th, which is like, none of us wanted this. None of us wanted this. We talked about how, like, WrestleMania Backlash, that name itself, is just always like, it's kind of like, oh, we hated WrestleMania, so here's the backlash, you know? But we've always been used to kind of like backlashes, and all this stuff, like, at least it's not like WrestleMania Rewind, like it was like 1 year or something like that. But it's just like, why? It's so soon, right after WrestleMania. Half the time, it's like matches that have already we saw at WrestleMania. So literally, it's kind of like, okay, I guess. But it's announced for May 8th. And I think
you don't have to. Okay, I guess this. It's like what if we. Just call, you don't need to put WrestleMania in the name. I get they made it. They made the choice for a reason, and I want to respect it. But it is kind of infuriating. I'm just glad that we don't also have WrestleMania Elimination Chamber. But I digress. It's announced for May 8th, which is good because, like, I mean, they used to do pay per views on Sundays. Obviously, so that Sunday would be Mother's Day. So I guess it's good that they didn't. They're not having a pay per view on Mother's Day. Probably.
Yeah. That's a good point. So we'll let you guys know. We do have a planned break. We're telling you right now.
We will not be here for most of April. We'll, of course, talk all about WrestleMania and recap that. But then after that, we will be on a planned break. So don't be surprised and don't ask us if we quit or if we were fired, because we will let you know if we were fired. And if we quit, well, then we'll also let you know. But you'll probably see the drama.
So we still don't know if we're going to cover WrestleMania Backlash, because we're planning to be on vacay, I guess you could say then. I mean, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I'm sure that we'll talk about it at, like, probably after the fact, as we like to do with pay-per-views. I mean, we will be back. We'll be back after our break. Just, it's okay, people. We're going to take a break. We're warning you months in advance so you can prepare. You can, if you need it, DM me. I'll send you a calendar invite that reminds you that we will not be here.
Exactly.
I'm glad that we're really communicating.
I know. So that we don't, like, scare people.
It's like we either don't mention it at all or we go overboard in terms of stressing it for like 5 minutes at the start of this podcast.
All right, so next up, so we got some news about Shida. So Shida was talking to like a Japanese wrestling subscription magazine or something like that, specifically geared for like Japanese subscribers. But of course, the American wrestling journals got their hands on it and have been reporting about it. But basically, Shida was talking to, it says, the headline from Wrestling Inc. says, top AEW star says Japanese female wrestlers are struggling to survive in the current AEW, which is just really fascinating because we literally had this conversation on December 31st.
I was going to say, the word I was thinking of wasn't even fascinating. It's consistent with what some other people, aka Big Swole, has been saying. It's consistent with what others have had. Well, I guess there haven't really been a lot of people who came to her defense, but it's a very similar story.
Yeah.
Share more of what Shida had to say.
Yeah, so I want to quote as much as possible, just because, you know, I want to be present this as objectively as possible, right? And one of her first opening lines was, Shida says, "My feeling is that the hurdle for Japanese women's pro wrestlers to come to AEW has become much higher. The major cause is the Corona disaster, which is not easy to finish, and it's because that the AEW women's division has grown so much in the past year." she goes on to talk about how the organization itself is constantly changing. You know, the women's division itself has increased in the number of you know, women. And at the time of the launch, you know, when AEW first launched, like the Joshi women, the Japanese women were the draw, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not as much of an advantage as it used to be. So she elaborated further by saying, like, even she herself is struggling, and she's a former champion. She was a champion for 4 months, women's AEW women's champion, and she's struggling to survive in the current AEW. She said it's been the language barrier has become more of a handicap. Obtaining a work visa, you know, during the coronavirus.
Right.
And it's really sad. It's really sad because it's everything that Swole literally said. You know, another quote here is, in AEW, there's a high degree of freedom for the players, but because of that, everything is their responsibility. Totally. For example, there is basically no assistance from the organization in finding a place to live, even if you're Japanese. That's how it was for her. So first off, she's talking about how she didn't get help finding a place to live once she came over here to America. She talks about how you have to, Swole said, you have to pitch your own stuff. You have to come up with your own stuff. But it's harder. And she's saying it's harder with like the language barrier and stuff like that. I'm just trying to make sure I grab some really useful quotes. Matt, what do you think about this so far?
Well, what I think about it is that obviously is not the exact same situation as what's happening with Big Swole. We get that. We understand that. But I think when I hear you saying all of that, it all makes sense. It's all common sense. Like, this is what happens when you don't think about these factors in developing a company, let alone a wrestling company. And the word that comes to mind for me is like even inclusion, because if you're just kind of going in and saying, okay, we're a wrestling company, we will book wrestlers, and you know, we're not going to think about what some wrestlers need based on where they're from or their cultures. Like, then you have situations like this that arise where she does like, hey, yeah, this is really tough for XYZ reasons. The language barrier, which is something that they could address and navigate, like the housing, which is totally something they could address. And so I am curious to see if Tony Khan decides to tweet about how she is a horrible wrestler and how he has no respect for her. But that's or maybe he just saves those comments for Big Swole. I don't know if he said he had no respect for Big Swole, but I think
I think he did, but you know,
more or less.
And finally, she said, even so, she's talking about Sakura, how Sakura found a room on her own and was desperately trying to seize the opportunity at AEW. But even though she came to America with such determination, she was not given a chance to participate in TV matches. There's a fierce battle to get a chance to compete before you can show off your skills in a match. And that is what AEW is today. So, exactly that, because I really want to point out that this is what Swole said. Swole said that it was because there was no creative, it was hard to pitch stuff. She said she preferred that there might be a writer there with a through line. You know, she said all of this, but it got lost in the muck and the mire because people saw that word diversity and it triggered everything. And we talked about it when it happened. Like, a lot of people who were mad at Swole or commenting about Swole didn't listen to the whole entire podcast, where Swole had never put Tony Khan down during podcast. She talked about how she appreciated him, how things were getting better in AEW, and she made critiques onto how it could be even better. But nobody saw the value in that. They just saw her say, like, you know, that diversity, they need to do better with diversity. They turned it into like, oh, it's this many black people there thing. And honestly, we talked about it then, but it falls on Tony Khan. Tony Khan got on Twitter, used his dumb Twitter fingers to come at Swole when I'm pretty sure he didn't listen, because he probably would have heard all the nice things she said about him, but opened up the floodgates for people to attack that black woman for saying literally the exact same thing that Sheeta says 2 months later, you know? And I'm not saying that Sheeta should be attacked or anything like that. I'm saying Sheeta's been getting an appropriate response on Twitter and you know, from the IWC and stuff like that. And it's just sad that Big Swole couldn't have gotten that either. And then, you know, people might say, well, you know, Sheeta even says in the thing that she still loves AEW and that, you know, she defended AEW. It's like, Swole did too. Swole did not.
Literally 36 minutes out of a 43-minute podcast or whatever it was praising that company.
Exactly. And the rest of
it was constructive criticism, but it was constructive. Yes. And she actually worked there and she actually knows. Imagine being in a job and being let go or even still being there. You have a perspective that the fans and people who are outside the situation don't have. And so the fact that fans have come so or were so hard at questioning and attacking and even other wrestlers have been so big on kind of criticizing it is ridiculous to me, because if we just take wrestling out of it and talk about what Swole's saying, it makes total sense. That's what happens in organizations all the time.
All the time, you don't consider
what your employees need. So it's not controversial or surprising. And it's kind of ridiculous because most people, 99% of people don't know what it takes to like run an organization and the moving parts. But like, if you just listen to what both of them, Sheeta and Swole, are saying, it's like, oh, of course, common sense says that what they're saying makes sense. And AEW could also do something about it if they decide to listen and not be defensive. But Tony Khan's brand is defensive, apparently. And I didn't realize that until this situation.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just really interesting. You see how people move. And it's just like, it shouldn't even be this way. It should have never gotten to this level. And again, I just like I said on that last podcast, I completely blame Tony Khan. At the fans' reaction to Swole, I blame the wrestlers' reactions to Swole. I blame him straight up outright, because he's the one who threw gasoline on the flame and was okay with letting a black woman get attacked for just merely stating her experience in a positive way. So, you know,
I don't know if anyone has like asked about this at a media scrum that AEW's done. I know that what's her face? Izzy, that the tenured old she is at those. So maybe she'll be the one, you know, who no. But in all seriousness, like, that's part of the problem. I don't know if Tony Khan has addressed those concerns. And I'm so glad that this story came up, because every time we talk about AEW, there's that looming over our heads. And like, this is not a petty thing for black wrestling fans, probably for Japanese wrestling fans, for any wrestling fan who was on Swole's side and who's on Cheetah's side with this, even though it shouldn't be a side thing. Tony like still has some work to do to fix it, because you're pushing people away and you're not helping by the people that you're elevating in the company and how you're booking them. But
And we'll get to it. But it also defeats the purpose when people are like, oh, this is just e-drones using this situation to attack AEW. No, sweetie, we're not e-drones. This situation, I'm pretty sure, has happened to us personally. Like Matt said, take wrestling out of the equation as black people.
Yeah.
This is criticizing an organization because of how they respond to your needs is probably something that a lot of us have experienced. And just everybody, like you said, not even just black people.
No. And it's also like, why do people do that? Sometimes it's to like drag and attack, and it could come from a place of hurt, which is also a valid place to come from with this, because you know, lack of inclusion could be insanely hurtful, or, you know, and I say lack of inclusion, but like that has a spectrum of like, sometimes it's just downright racist stuff that's happening. But also like I think the other place where it comes from, which seemingly is the case for Sheeta and for Swole, is a place of, I want this thing that I love to be better. I want this world of wrestling to be a place where I feel more welcome than I do, so that I can thrive, but also others like me can thrive, which is why I'm speaking up. And like, that should be honored and appreciated, because that's actually kind of brave compared to getting on the bandwagon and claiming that everything is fine and perfect, even though your perspective is not the only one that matters.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's why I hope the main crux of both of their issues doesn't fly over people's heads, because I can already see it flying over people's heads. You know, Swole said the same thing, and they're like, oh, she's criticizing their diversity. They have plenty of diversity. Yeah. Sheeta says exactly what Swole says, and they said, oh, Sheeta's saying it's not good because of the coronavirus. Like, they can't control a pandemic. It's like, how are you taking those small subsets and not seeing the bigger picture as a whole when they're both saying that they would like a little bit more structure when it comes to creativity and TV time and stuff like that? Like, how can you take, you know, blow up the small part, the portions to fit your narrative, but not address the core root issue that both of these women have addressed? So, I mean, you know, it's the internet. So.
Yeah. And don't like, if you're going to hire people, have an idea of what you're going to do with them. Figure
yeah.
I think one of the problems, and this came to mind, so I'm glad this came to mind, is that a problem is that no one's accountable for this, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, who is responsible at the end of the day if Sheeta is not, like, quote unquote, successful in AEW, whatever that means, right? Who's responsible if Swole isn't? And because that's not there, it kind of just ends up on the talent. And I don't think that's mm-hmm. entirely fair.
Right. All right. So that's it. That's enough for the news brought to you by Daily Smark. So if you have any questions, please send us emails to wrestling@robhaswebsite.com. We will read your emails on the show. You can join the conversation using #WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. And you can follow us @WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. And of course, you can always find us in the unofficial official page Facebook group.
Yeah.
Job has a squadcast. If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Go subscribe to our podcast feed. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to easily subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcast. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you are looking at our fabulous faces right here on YouTube. Go to Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube. Search Wrestling or Hop Up, and you can see all of our video options here, right here. We're all here.
Look at us. We're real people. We're not just drones on the internet. Like,
yeah.
We're not CGI. We're not
deep. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Those scared the mess out of me.
Yes, they do.
All right. So we'll take a quick ad break, and we'll be back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so we're going to go over the highlights of the week. As always, our highlights of the week can be found in a really handy playlist, and your show notes or the show descriptions. And you can watch and follow along as we talk. This week, of course, we got a little bit more build for Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber is next week, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, we'll be talking about the build, but we're not going to go into the match card because that's what an Elimination Chamber preview podcast is for. And that's what we will be doing early next week, like we always do. We'll bring you our podcast early so you can listen to it before the pay-per-view. We'll do our predictions. We have a wonderful guest.
We do.
But yes, but today we'll just talk about a little bit of the build. So WWE, they announced like on their Twitter, like not even, it's so ridiculous. They announced the second Elimination Chamber match, which will be the Women's Elimination Chamber, which again, why would you not announce it? Anyways, they announced it before Raw, I think it was. What are you about to say, Matt?
They didn't have 2 minutes. They didn't have 2 minutes on the show to be like, hey, we're going to throw up this graphic.
Man.
Or a segment.
I guess they kind of, we got matches between Bianca Belair and Nikki A.S.H. And then, of course, Liv and Doudrop got a match with some TV time, which is great. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was their way to build it. But this Elimination Chamber match, okay, so if you're looking at us on YouTube, there's a graphic up. It's Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H., and then a mystery competitor. So it's a six woman who's a mystery competitor. We'll throw out some predictions in a minute, but basically, whoever wins this Elimination Chamber will be facing Becky Lynch at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship. Now that Ronda Rousey has confirmed that she is going after Charlotte's belt.
Now that Ronda has confirmed that she's staying out of Bianca's way.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right. So if all things go according to plan, Bianca Belair should win this. If we are continuing the story, we will get Bianca winning the Elimination Chamber. I know. I just hope that it's a good match, to be quite honest, because I'm trying to think. I think the last Women's Elimination Chamber, because I don't think we had one last year, if I remember correctly.
No.
But okay, so that's what I thought. So the last one was
I said that really confidently.
Well, I don't think we had one. I truly don't think we had one.
I mean, it's a 50% chance either yes or no, but I don't remember us. I don't remember there being one. And Bianca, we had the build with Bianca and Sasha happening. And then on the other side,
it was Asuka and Rhea. I remember Rhea just walked out and said, like, I'm coming for the title. Yeah,
like two weeks before.
So the last one was Shayna, when Shayna Baszler ran through the whole entire cage. Just put all the girls out. Wasn't even entertained. Nobody got offense but Shayna Baszler. Just for her to go up against Becky.
Yeah.
And lose. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like, can we get a better book chamber? That's all I'm asking right here, right now, on this day.
I mean, can we?
Can we? So we got a question. From the great Ashley in our Job Has a Squad cast group. She said, will the mystery female be Asuka like it has been every time? Has it been Asuka every time?
I mean, I was like, I hope Mari knows this one. By the way, Ashley, hope you enjoyed your vacation. We know that you had some pets, so good for you. I'm guessing I trust Ashley's judgment. So, yes, it has been Asuka every time. And, I mean, like, let's talk about this. So, we have this mystery person, this mystery, it's not really like a black, it's like a gray
silhouette.
Person. Yes, a gray, so not person, silhouette, yes, a black gray silhouette. Who are our options here for who it could be?
So,
that's not Queen Zelina.
Oh, geez. So I think our options here, my guess would be Alexa Bliss, because we got another Alexa Bliss segment again that we did, Lily controlling her anger. Like, the segments were cute when I thought they were only going to be like for a month, but we're going on like month three now at this point, So now I'm just kind of like, let's see what's happening, especially since I don't know where it's going. Cause I literally thought this was to change her character, but I'm still not sure. So
we'll talk more about the Alexa stuff in a little bit.
No, right? We talk about it right here.
Well, like, yeah, this is okay. Well, because like the thing with Alexa, because Alexa is one option for who it could be. But the thing with Alexa is that we had this little, I don't know, Mari. Actually, I'm curious to hear how you would sum up these, like, these psychology appointments that Alexa's been getting.
I don't understand them. I truly do not. Like, I can't tell if she's trying to control her powers, if we're unlocking powers, if he's trying to get her to let go of Lily, or he keeps using a Lily replica. Like, I'm really confused, and it could just be me not understanding it. You know, I'm fully open to admitting when I don't understand what's happening. And again, it could be me, but I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. I don't know where we're getting to here.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't feeling it until this week. And, I even as I was watching this segment this last week, so we see the psychologist who's working with Alexa. Basically, like, his thing is, number one, he is insanely tan. Maybe not just compared to Alexa. But I just noticed his tan for some reason. Like, he has like only a tan that like a Hollywood actor could have. Like, a psychologist would not go to the tanning booth before their appointments. But I digress.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, it's all about, let's separate you from Lily. Lily, I guess Lily's a bad influence. And Alexa was talking about her anger issues and how she was cut off on the freeway and got angry and then like just drove away and like, got her parking lot stolen and then just got out of her car and got angry and then like drove away. And then she like ran into like an evil creature of some sort with like rainbow hair. And it sounded to me like it was a Lily replica or something like that, that she ran into, but like life-sized. And I feel like this segment was about a minute too long, but at the same time, I like that we're getting this unhinged character from Alexa that's really being invested in. And I'm just hoping that, like, they have two routes. They could go with the approach of, let's give her her old gimmick back and move back to that, and this is the transition. Or it could be a situation of, like, let's actually start to introduce this wild character or this just, like, demented character from Alexa. So which way would you prefer that they go? Like, old school Little Miss Bliss or demented Miss Bliss?
Matt, you know I don't care. I don't know. I just want them to do it. Whatever it is, just do it, because it is really confusing me. And I think you did a great job of breaking that down. Thank you. That's why you are here. But yes. I just don't understand. It's not for me. And I'm just like, okay, I just want to see it in action. I just want to see what's new, what's going to be different, you know? So I don't, I highly doubt they go back to just Bliss. Yeah, it'd be strange. And she clearly has really good acting chops. I've always given that to Alexa. So, you know, they should give her a character she can like gnaw on. So I hope it's something that's in between the over the top fiend Lily gimmick, but not as subtle as the Little Miss Bliss, Evil Bliss, or whatever.
I also hope that I get where you're coming from with all this. And on a completely different note, Alexa's wrestled mate like a handful of matches in the last year.
Yeah,
and for that, I'm happy for her. And I hope that like she's physically feeling good. I hope that she's happy with the character, where it's going. I remember Alexa tweeting, you know, like out of character, Alexa tweeting like basically wait and see in regard to all of these different videos and stuff, segments and like the build up. And so we will see.
I want to see.
I know. I don't mind this. It's growing on me is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have some Alexa fans too, who are probably watching and kind of excited by this. So
I that's what I would expect. I would expect it to be Alexa. So like Asuka, which Ashley pointed out, Alexa's on a short list. you know, maybe it's, maybe we go back to some, what are you doing? Maybe we go back to some of those Royal Rumble rumors, like of like, maybe, if you, maybe like a Paige return. My biggest thing is, right. My biggest thing is if like what should happen is Bianca wins, then that mystery competitor should not really be somebody like huge and in the running. So that's what I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, Alexa is still on par, you know, and her debut won't eclipse if
Ember
Bianca
Moon?
Wins.
Eclipse.
Oh, Jesus. Asuka being healthy, that makes sense. I mean, actually, yeah. Like, Asuka being healthy makes a lot of sense. That's a great star power to put in the match that can also be okay with not necessarily not winning straight off. Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that for Asuka, though, because they play too many games with Asuka.
Yeah.
Like, they
I mean, it's a setup really, either way.
I mean, it, like
being
with
that mystery
Asuka,
competitor
though,
is a setup.
It is, mm-hmm. but you, Asuka. Okay. Maybe, okay. But Asuka. Like, they've really disrespected Asuka in a lot of ways with how they booked her. So I don't want her. I would love her coming back and being insanely dominant, finally, on the main roster in a significant way. But, you know, other than that, like, I think we were going through the list. Like, Bayley comes to mind as an option, potentially. I mean, I don't know if they would switch brands for Sasha in any way, but, like, maybe Sasha.
Right.
But you were talking earlier on about, or maybe, I don't know if we were talking about this before the show or not, but like the one female like legend who comes to mind, this would never happen. But, you know, we did see at the Rumble, we saw Nikki A.S.H. go and beat down Mighty Molly
Holly.
And if they really like built that story, that would be like a nice little thing to see.
I would like that.
Just to see the Molly go around off the top of the chamber or some random crap like that. Like, that's the one
I would
person
love to see
really
that.
Actually be fun. And then she could lose. Like, no one's expecting her to win. But
yeah. Lacey Evans is what about little Lacey?
I don't think anyone asked her that. In the chamber.
Right. Mighty Molly in the chamber sounds cool as all get out to me. Yeah. Like, give me that. Like, that's a perfect, like, mystery competitor. Check. Big name. Check. Storyline going in. Check. Mm-hmm. So obsessed with getting vengeance on Nikki A.S.H. that she then gets rolled up. Check. Like, yeah, I like that. The great Edmo also asked, what current or former wrestler would you have liked to see on this season of Celebrity Big Brother? So a little veering off here. I don't know how many of our... Yeah, just a little bit. This, I felt like this is a good place to put it because I knew we were going to do a lot of speculating. So the Celebrity Big Brother is underway. Speaking of which, somebody was just on the episode recap last night.
Matt. Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Taryn Armstrong, though. He was there.
Matt, you go. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Oh, like, you're going to go first. Yeah, okay. I haven't even thought about this question yet. As I'm like, let me pull up a graphic of this guest, but maybe by the time you start talking, I'll have
one. Right. I'm so like, I need them to have like maybe Misha Tate being on and winning all these comps is helping. Ooh. Like, they, you know, because I'm pretty sure the CBS producers don't know the difference between pro wrestling or UFC. But they've had like Chuck Liddell was on the first season. So, and then Eva Maria is on the second season. So I like this whole like maybe book one UFC competitor or one like former wrestler each season, because you know they're building up their archetypes. So I would love to see it. I think somebody who comes to mind. I think if you're watching us on YouTube, Matt has pulled up the Celebrity Big Brother cast. A list. I'm not going to go through it.
There are a lot of people there.
It's a lot of people.
You could find them on CBS.com under Celebrity Big Brother's cast. But yeah. I mean, some of the people who come to mind who might be like Lamar Odom from the sports world. You mentioned Misha Tate, who was Ronda Rousey's famous competitor.
Oh, yeah, competitor. Yeah, exactly that. Could you imagine if Ronda went into the Big Brother house?
See,
now?
That's why I'm like, in my mind, like that's my answer. Only
Ronda Rousey.
Of Misha. Only because of Misha, because it, only like looking at this specific cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot. That's one answer. Like mm-hmm. you have like a built-in story. I don't know if there's actually any drama between them.
Well, see, I don't think they're saying like in the house right now. I don't think Edmo. I mean, just period, I guess.
Well, like, who would you put in the house right now?
Oh, no, he did. He said this season. Okay, he did say this season. Yeah. Okay, then it'd be Rhonda. Definitely. It'd be Rhonda.
I mean, yeah, let her go. Let her go.
Yeah, just to see her and Misha. Oh my God, that would be gold.
Man, so, I would love to see some fights and like some that's real what I'm saying. Like,
that would be some fights.
Julie Chen, like blow the whistle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess that would be my answer. Well, I think one of the Bella twins, maybe
really
Nikki.
See them.
Nikki. I think Nikki could do.
Really?
I think Nikki would be great. I mean, she did Dancing with the Stars.
She's realistic.
So. Yeah, she did Dancing with the Stars, so she's not adverse to like celebrity stunt casting. And I think she would be really good. I think she'd be really good. I think people would like her. Yeah. I think she could win some stuff.
But anyone from the current roster who's not Ronda Rousey who you would add in? I like this question a lot.
I do too. Again, Naomi, I think. Watching Naomi on Total Divas, she was always the sensible, calm one who always tried to keep everybody like from
see
fighting.
A woman, we're talking about.
Oh, I'm just talking about women. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like I feel like that would be better in general. I don't know.
If we're talking about men, then of course it's the Miz. You got to put the Miz back into a house with strangers.
Yeah, to see the Miz compete.
How freaking awesome would that be?
Awesome.
There it is. So
you set me up.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
So that would be my those would be our choices.
Yep.
For select casting. Oh, the Miz and Lamar would be hilarious this season, I think. I think they would be really funny together.
You know, we definitely don't have an answer to this, but I do wonder like if any of these wrestlers are Big Brother fans.
That'd be nice to know.
Yeah, probably not, but
that'd be
like
interesting.
Watching at least three times a week.
Hard, busy most when you're on the road. Yeah. All right, well, let's keep it moving. Got some stuff to get through. So we also got Becky and Lita. Of course, they're continuing their feud before Elimination Chamber next week. I thought, you know, at first I was like watching this, I'm like, oh, it's just going to be another promo. And it technically was. However, I did like this promo by both Becky and Lita. You know, it was some primo character work going on here. Becky Lynch talking about how she gave up everything to stay the champion, gave up the fans, gave up her friends. I think she's like, that's kind of like a nod to Charlotte in a sense. Gave up everything to stay the women's champion. And it just makes sense. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's such good character development because it's like, and also reading between the lines, she gave up her integrity in a sense because she's been healing it up. She's been cheating to win, you know? So I love this story. And then I love Lita bringing in how the fans are the ones who propel her and she will always have the fans. If she has nothing, she has the fans. And she made a great point of how it was the fans who put her there. And she likes chanting Lita because it really brought me back. Remember Matt, when she made her like debut as like S.A. Rios's valet, yeah. Right? And she hit that moonsault with S.A. Rios. Oh. Nobody knows who S.A. Rios is. No offense, S.A. Rios. Everybody wanted Lita. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it was the fans chanting that they wanted Lita every time S.A. Rios was out there that pushed her forward. So,
yeah.
Great
and
character
I,
work.
I've always felt like, but I mean, this is, I guess this has kind of changed over time, but obviously the way that Lita was retired with Crime Time and that incident was not great. And so I always just felt like people didn't have like the right respect or love of Lita. Like I felt like even though she was so over, especially compared with Trish, she was just underrated. And you know, you think of everything with Edge and Matt Hardy that came up and that left a bad taste in people's mouths. So I'm glad that people are still not like anti Lita, though it is funny because they did boo her for a little bit during the Royal Rumble. I don't know what she
did.
I don't know what she did. It was justified. Like she came out and then she did some, I don't know who she took out. She took out Mickey James for one. I think she might have taken out somebody else, but She was, it seemed a little heel-y to me. So that was fine. But I liked this promo a lot from Becky because it felt so raw and real. Mm-hmm. And it would be like your hero or your mentor asking you to move aside. And that's basically what Becky was saying. And I liked
that. Yeah, too. Yeah.
But then the other thing, see, I always get nervous when I see, I saw a tweet recently that was about Lita. I saw a tweet about Lita recently. They're like, Lita's my mama. I want what's best for her. No one's going to say anything bad about her. And like, you know what? I get nervous when she gets on the mic to start. Cause like, you know, she has some rust in there. She was really getting into it though. There was the gravel in her voice. Like what? I was intimidated. Yeah. This was well done by both of them. And then actually the twist of fate?
Way better twist of fate than on somebody else. Cough, cough, Charlotte. And the moonsault was pretty good. I think that might have been her best one in the past few years.
Maybe. Yeah, few definitely years. Her best in the last few years.
Yeah, definitely.
But the other piece too, I saw an interview or a piece of an interview a few days back where Lita basically talked about the Charlotte twist of fate and was like, yeah, so actually both of them, because there were two. So she's like, yeah, Charlotte's tall. That's a problem.
Another clip kind of surfaced of Charlotte, like in the whole Ronda trying to hit Charlotte's face on the table and it didn't go well. I'm really wondering if Charlotte, it feels like she's like very protective of her face for some reason. So she might be like trying to take it easy on her face. That's why she's getting these really weird bumps, but whatever. It's all good. I like this. I really like this promo. And I think it also perfectly kind of sets up what happens once Becky loses that title. You know what I'm saying? Like, once Becky loses that title, hopefully to Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, where does she go from there? And I love that thought process because she's saying that title is everything to her now. It's the only thing. So what happens when it's gone? Do we get an even more devious, devilish Becky? Or do she try to go back to the well and try and, like, reconnect and try and, you know... I'm here for it. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I mean, I'm just like, oh, damn. Well, now that I think about it, I never really thought about Becky losing the championship. Like, she's doing such a great job, but like, Bianca needs her title back, so it's just unfortunate. But Becky's doing such strong work. And the only sad thing about Bianca right now is that she's not like the featured player doing great work. She's always doing good, really good work. But I always feel like she's also so much has her hands tied when it comes to the writing. And I just wish she was more like elevated prominent. Right now. Yeah, more but prominent right now.
I have to disagree a little bit because like we've been saying, they've been finding reasons to put her out there. I hate to say it because I don't want to sound like I'm defending them, but I hate when WWE repeats matches. We all hate that. They did it on SmackDown this week with the New Day and Los Lotharios. They did it with, you know, Bianca and Doudrop during that time, even though that was an actual feud. But you got to remember that those matches that we've seen so many times on TV, that you're throwing them out there and it doesn't seem like it's for a purpose. It's for the live crowd because I've been to pay-per-views. I've been to Raws where I'm coming there to see a specific wrestler and when they're not on the card and not being pushed, it is so demoralizing and you hate it. And you're like, why did I pay this money? And that's why I've been saying on here every week, I think it's so good that no matter what, they are making room for Bianca on the card, on Raw. And she had a match with, Nikki A.S.H. this week where, Nikki was targeting her knee. It was a well-placed, thought out match. And so I can't complain. And I think this is better for her because last year it's a stark difference, from last year when she won the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And for 4 months, they had to build her versus Sasha after she had made the choice a month in, you know what I'm saying? And then people were already saying it was getting stale.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this is good for her. I think the whole underdog climbing to the top type thing is good. So she has less time to have to be able to do fluff to, you know, during WrestleMania. So that's where I'm coming from it. But again, this can all go totally left if she never, if she doesn't win. And they,
you know, I mean, Bianca is such a star too, like in every single thing she does. And I don't know, maybe like, maybe what I'm, the one thing that I would ask for is like giving her, it would be nice. It's been nice seeing her. Like I liked, I really liked the feud, the, I'd call it a mini feud with Doudrop. I liked that.
Which is really good.
It did a lot for Doudrop too, because it really established Doudrop as this strong heel. So definitely Doudrop's value or whatever you want to call it went up, stock went up. But you know, like I would love if maybe like back in, this is the fantasy booking of it all, but like back in October or November, if instead of Becky kind of like moving on to Liv and Doudrop and others, like if Becky hired somebody who just was there to beat Bianca's ass. Like we talked to, I don't know why I think of Jazz. I love Jazz. Jazz was so amazing back in the day, but like just someone like that who just is there to like beat her up at every single chance would be a fun thing to see. But we haven't had that focus with Bianca, which is the only thing that makes me nervous.
Right. But that's the good thing, that maybe, maybe once this chamber is done, then we'll get the focus. You know, and she's still over. I think not over pushing her might be what's saving her right now. Because, you know, these fans, you
know,
yeah, you know, once somebody gets pushed and is pushed consistently, why are they being shoved down our throats? She's already, she was already kind of getting some of that, that kind of backlash. But now it seems like she's on the rise again, just because she had been taken like a semi back seat. But that's, again, she hasn't even been really, really in the back seat. So that's why I appreciate it. I think I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Right. It's like a little scary. I get a little that's where I am. But they're so far so good. They haven't
messed anything up. Yeah, so we also got more from the WWE Championship and Universal Championship builds. Really nothing to write home here. Bobby Lashley, no Brock Lesnar, right? No Brock Lesnar on Monday.
No, but the,
did he come in later?
The whole idea, no. Like, the whole idea of this one was that he, that Lashley was sending a message to Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar, yeah.
It literally was him, like, literally sending him, like he literally just said words.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, Lashley, you're the champion. Like, why is this? This feels really backwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lashley's like, oh, I hope it comes down to me and Brock Lesnar at the Elimination Chamber so I can pin him again and prove that I'm the champion. It's like, but you are the champion. Like, why are you sending a message to somebody who's not the champion? So we'll see. I truly don't know what's going to happen here. I really do not. I do not want it to be title for title at WrestleMania. How do you put Brock in an Elimination Chamber match and not have him win is what's the scary thing. And the only thing, the only thing you can do it is what Bobby just said. You have the champion pin him, you know? So,
I mean, honestly, the thing is like Brock, this is a great situation to not have Brock win in. A multi-person match.
It is.
Lots of shenanigans and weapons and steel and other things. And like, there's so many people coming, in theory, coming at Brock Lesnar in this match that, I mean, you'd think that he wouldn't win. But then again, he's Brock Lesnar. He's Brock freaking Lesnar. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do But let's
we'll
hope
speculate
that,
more.
It's tough to see Bobby get... You know, last month we saw him just getting torn apart on the mic by Brock Lesnar, who was basically calling Bobby irrelevant, and then Bobby wins the championship. And it's Black History Month. Like, Brock Lesnar beating Bobby Lashley is not okay this month. Maybe this, March, but they don't have a pay-per-view in March.
We're down bad this month, Matt. I'm sorry. I've seen zero wins for us this month.
It's like Bianca loses, Lashley loses. Booker T probably returns and loses.
Oh, God. Yeah, so we'll do more speculation on what we actually think will happen at the Elimination Chamber for the preview match. So we can just move on.
We will.
We got Charlotte and Naomi on SmackDown.
We did.
They gave them girls time, man. I was like, they giving the girlies time. They came on at like 9:30 and got the rest of SmackDown. I am like, I've never been so happy. Like, and Charlotte, we've talked, I think we talked about it before, but Charlotte and Naomi have not feuded like a legit feud.
No.
Ever. The one time they even got close, it got interrupted by the welcoming committee and all that. So this match, this is what their second match, but this is like the match where they actually, because Sonya Deville, the show starts off because Sonya Deville tries to suspend Ronda Rousey for putting her hands on her, and Sonya comes out in an arm sling. And I was like, oh, okay, they're gonna Brock Lesnar Ronda Rousey. Like they really got me. I was like, okay, yeah. They're suspending Ronda indefinitely and giving her a fine so she can go home, blah, blah, blah. But then Adam Pearce comes out and says, oh, this is directly from Vince McMahon. Like, your request to fine Ronda is denied. Vince McMahon saying that somebody abusing their power doesn't sit right with him is laughably hilarious. I mean,
you know, to play devil's advocate.
That's not.
Vince McMahon does know what abusing power is like, so.
Well, he does. That's true. But to condemn it is hilarious.
Yes.
and he did say that if Sonya interfered in that match and put her hands on Naomi, then her job would be in question. And so Naomi came out. I love that Naomi just came out looking all great to be like, he said you can't put your hands on me, but I can put my hands on you, and just slap Sonya and then walk out. I was like, oh, this is what they're opening with? Okay. And then we get the Charlotte and Naomi. Like I said, they got the full time. And you know, I thought it was a great match. You know, there were some problems here and there, but Charlotte was like, somebody was like, oh, Charlotte likes Naomi, because Charlotte, you know, she was in her bag. She did not phone it in. I will give Charlotte this. They both went out there and put it all on the line. We all knew what was going to happen. We all knew Charlotte was going to retain so that she can go and face Ronda Rousey. And that first 5 to 10 minutes, you could tell the crowd was like, okay, this is great, but we know what's going to happen. By the time all of those near falls were happening, the crowd was eating that up. Like, Naomi got in so much offense. I'm actually not even that mad that Charlotte took all of that offense and kicked out of it. I mean, I didn't much like her kicking out of Naomi's split leg moonsault, because that is her finisher.
That could have been like, just, if one, like, just give it a little bit more, like
I wish you got
half a second more. And Naomi hooked the leg with her leg too. Like, Naomi really had the cover with that, and so I did see a clip, though. I don't know if you sent this to me, but I saw a clip somewhere on Twitter of like the crowd reaction, but filmed by a fan in attendance, and you could hear like the excitement, like, oh, Naomi might win it, and then. The disappointment she didn't get the pin on that split-legged moonsault. But Naomi is so good.
So good. And I'm so glad she got to like finally show out. Because a lot of people talk about how like sometimes she just does not get to show out because she has to like slow down. And I'm just glad that Charlotte was in there as a good base, because that's exactly what Charlotte was doing. She was just a good base for Naomi to do a lot of flipping over. And I think Naomi busted out like almost all of her, a lot of her like Funkadactyls offense. The only thing we didn't see was her Rings of Saturn, her version of the Rings of Saturn submission, which would have been really great to see Charlotte in. But other than that, it was really good. Charlotte winning with the natural selection. I always don't like when Charlotte wins with the natural selection. It seems more like a signature move to me than a finisher, but it's better than having Naomi tap out to the figure eight, I think.
That finish was not the cutest finish.
No,
because I don't exactly know what was supposed to happen, but the timing was off.
Yeah, I think they had a cut for time. I think there was supposed to be like maybe one or two more sequences. And then they're like, no, you got to go into the finish. And then they went into the finish and it threw off their timing, but they had to go into the finish because they needed the Sonya Deville run in. Yeah. And then they needed the Ronda run in, and then they still ended up finishing 3 minutes early.
Yeah, that it was just like I watched that match back and watched it like a few times where I was like, they're standing there, and Naomi's like, "Do I do something?" And Charlotte's like, "Do I do something?" And
yeah.
They're both just looking at each other, and Naomi walks up to Charlotte, who's just standing there, and does like jumps up beautifully, by the way, for like just a standard jump off the ground to like a rear view, which obviously it's Charlotte, and then that's what led to the finish. But yeah, that's like my only thing about the match.
Was that the part where, because I don't know if it was because they had did that almost kind of like that sequence before it, where Naomi was about to run to the ropes. She was supposed to like run to the ropes, but Charlotte was supposed to grab her hair to stop her. You know what I'm saying? And they did that sequence maybe a step or two before that. So then I wonder if that was supposed to set that. I don't know. I think there was something that they had to edit out. So it kind of miscued or whatever.
I don't know. I just know that it
But it was still a really good match.
But like it happens. It happens. And I don't think it really, you know,
affected the match.
I can't even imagine it reflecting too negatively on either of them at
exactly.
all. So that's what matters, right?
Exactly. And Charlotte, if Charlotte and Ronda are allowed to have, these are sloppy MMA style matches type get, you know, if they can get away with that, then her and Naomi can get away with that. Because I thought it was like, I thought it still worked. No matter what, I still thought it worked well.
And you mentioned, we haven't talked about Ronda yet, by the way.
But. Right. So Sonya Deville comes in and she's like in Naomi's face, and it's after the match.
Coughing on her.
Yeah, if triggered.
I mean, I don't know what
she's
trying to do.
No. So Naomi hits her. She hits Naomi. Then Charlotte comes in and they both, Sonya and Charlotte start beating up on Naomi. Of course, Ronda Rousey comes out for the save, which I saw this setup. I was like, they constantly have to use Naomi to get other women over, but I digress. Ronda comes out for the save. She puts her hands on Sonya's other arm. but we find out that they now have a match at Elimination Chamber. It'll be Ronda Rousey and Naomi versus Sonya and Charlotte at Elimination Chamber, which I'm actually excited about. That's pretty good. And good for Naomi to be like in that, you know, and her and Sonya. So I'm assuming her and Sonya are getting that a WrestleMania spot. I would assume, because they still haven't technically had a full out one-on-one match.
They deserve it.
And Naomi deserves it. So, and it's a perfect story to add a women's match without feeling forced and to finally finish out a storyline. So this is great. This is great.
Yeah, everything it's great. And I hope that we get to, considering the fact that it will hopefully lead up to a Mania match. You know what would be really annoying is if it led up to like one of those, like this is the week before Mania. We're going to give you this match.
The Saturday before Mania, which would be even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is now they're doing the Saturday before Mania is technically the kickoff show. So it might be on there.
Damn. Well, we'll see, but it shouldn't be, because this is like an actual feud. And
not the Saturday, the Friday. I'm sorry, the Friday before Mania.
The WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Whatever they called it.
Pre-show.
Maybe it's just kickoff, pre-show.
Something like that.
WrestleMania Friday. Because I remember last year, it was like WrestleMania Friday, WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday.
Monday.
Day one, day, whatever. WrestleMania Day Zero. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I love this, because I mean, taking out how anyone feels about Ronda, you know, but like, it's great for Naomi to be next to Ronda. Anytime she's next to Ronda, Naomi's a true veteran and the star, so I think that'll come across next to Ronda. But also, people are watching Ronda. That's just the way it is. So hopefully that means they're also watching Naomi.
Yep, And all the good sis was, one, it was a storyline, a real storyline feud, so that she can now just go sit and have babies for a minute and then come back later. Because that's what she wanted. Because you think about it, she's had... Cool. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that she's had... Naomi.
What?
Naomi. Yeah. She... yeah. Because somebody who... It was on Twitter. Somebody had posted about like, oh, I love how all of the women... Oh, all of the women in the match. They named all the mothers in the match. And it was like, oh, all the women have been able to go and have babies and come back. Great. And then she had like... tweeted under like me next, and so it's like, and we've known that Naomi wanted to, you know, have kids one day, but she was just kind of finding the right time and place. We knew if you watch Total Divas, you know that. So
that's the problem.
And she's accomplished in the last 5 years. She's had a WrestleMania moment. She's had a decently long title reign, but during that title reign she never had a adequate feud, and that's what she said. She just always wanted a feud, and so she finally got this non-title feud with Sonya Deville that I like, and I think a lot of people like. So I think if it culminates at WrestleMania weekend, then she can go sit down if she wants to for a while. I I want her to be happy, you know.
I was gonna say, I want her to have her kids or whatever happens.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, good for her. She's in a great spot to take a, well, either, because I guess you never really know if it's going to be your retirement and if you're out of this. And it's good that she's in this spot where she's really making an impression if she is planning on taking time off for whatever reason. But we'll see. Yeah. We will see.
She's 34.
So young. Yeah. I didn't even, and by the way, like, she's so young, but I also didn't realize that Roman Reigns was also like only 36. Like, these people are in the prime of their careers.
Yeah.
So freaking young.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, you know, women got to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but it's good that she's able to like have that time. And, you know, I haven't really thought so much about the fact that Naomi's been, I'm assuming she's still on Total Divas. If that's still
it hasn't been a thing. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it's canceled. They just haven't been filming.
I couldn't remember. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, it's good. That definitely raised her stock, because I know people who know her as Trinity, you know, from that show. So
exactly.
Only the best for Naomi. Let's see where everything goes with her. But they're doing great.
Exactly.
With her.
So we got to talk about it is Black History Month. We got to talk about the biggest things of the week. Keith Lee debuted on AEW. We talked about last week how there were rumblings that he would debut, and we got it. I mean, he had a stellar debut against what's his name from Private Party?
Cassidy.
Isaiah Cassidy. There it is. Yeah. Sorry, Isaiah Cassidy. But Keith Lee, I mean,
we got him.
Wow. That was a really good debut. He came in, we basked in his glory.
We did.
He threw around, he used his shoulder to throw Isaiah around. It was really good. I'm just so happy that it seems like he's happy. They have a star. Instantly, the crowd loves Keith Lee. The internet loves Keith Lee. So, AEW, the ball is in your court now.
And this match, just as more context to this match, was to qualify for the Face of the Revolution ladder match, which is a thing.
Ooh,
and, you know, Matt Hardy was there at ringside with Private Party. And I think the only other thing before getting back to the Keith Lee of it all is that mid-match, Matt Hardy, I mean, I don't want to say it. The comparison could be made to Jeff Hardy and the alleged Jeff Hardy walking out mid-match at a house show through the crowd, because Matt also just like walked out mid-match through the crowd and left. And so I don't know if that was a reference. There have been a lot of rumors of Jeff coming, so that's a whole other story for us to watch. But man, Keith Lee was so, I would imagine, underrated in this spot. The way that he threw Cassidy up in the air like a sack of feathers, like 50 feet in the air across the entire ring, almost out of the entire ring if he wasn't careful. Like, Keith Lee is so underrated, and I don't even think people know what he's going to bring in AEW, but I hope that they'll respect him and book him like he deserves to be booked. How do you feel though, Mari, about like this debut? Because I don't know what to think, but I was just hoping that we would get like flat out main event Keith Lee, but maybe that's asking for too much.
They
probably need to build him up after that WWE run, especially.
I mean, it'll depend. They just need it. That's why I said the ball is in their court, because the face of the Revolution ladder match, I have the definition here. Six competitors are vying for a large brass ring that has often been synonymous with the pursuit of success. That is such a troll. Anyways, the brass ring guarantees a TNT title shot for the victor. So if Keith Lee he's going to be in this match. If he wins this match, he's going straight to the TNT title spot, which is their secondary championship spot. I don't know. It's just kind of like, yes, it's great. Build him up. If he's going to get a TNT title shot, we still don't know who the other competitors are or anything like that. So if it was me, I'd hotshot him to the main event. But right now, AEW's main event scene is, you know, all over the place. Hangman Page is doing a great job. He just had a really good match against the Archer and Lance Archer, I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying. I know it, but I always hesitate before I say it, because I know people are going to just like jump down. But like, it's just clogged. It's just kind of clogged. Yeah. So at least if he's getting consistent screen time, if he's being booked great, then he gets a title, then he goes on the run. Like, you just, now it's up to them to prove that they're going to be better. If you're going to say, hey, WWE dropped the ball and we're going to pick you up, it's now the burden's on you to prove why WWE was wrong. And you're putting yourself in that situation. You are opening yourself up to criticism, because if in 3 months Keith Lee is on Dark or Elevation, people are going to have some stuff to say about it, you know,
not on TV. But yeah, like I do hope that they do with him, maybe the opposite. I don't know if I'm contradicting myself or not on this, because I did say like, oh, it'd be nice to see him debut into the main event. But like, now that they debut him the way that they did, maybe he's in that face of the Revolution ladder match. He could win it. And then that could lead to a title match. And, you know, I would want him to win the championship so early, but alternately, like maybe there's a feud that springs up out of this. I just think he needs to like establish that he could do the promos and establish what he could do in the ring, because he, especially in the last year between having COVID and being deathly ill and then returning and being Bearcat, he hasn't had the opportunity to showcase that. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what they do here, but I believe with, this reminds me of the Ruby Soho situation back a few months ago at All Out, where Ruby debuted in AEW and then won that match. And like, you know, they have to always be careful about like, just putting former WWE stars on the top of the card. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of that right now with like Big Swole might argue with that, but that's a whole thing. Yeah. But look, we'll see what they do with Keith Lee. And
Mike from the Job Hunt Squadcast group said, I'm sure you will cover Keith Lee, but how in the world does WWE miss on a guy like that? I understand he doesn't have the traditional look, but the guy just freaking oozes star power. Like, the traditional look, if you look at the traditional look, he does have that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go back to the early, like, just wrestlers, not the bodybuilder wrestlers, but just like husky men, you know?
Big old husky men. And you know what? I think, there's so many big wrestlers that come to mind. Am I going to do this? We'll see if I do this. But like, I saw the one and only Chappelle, aka C-Dog.
Yeah, Chappelle.
Tweeting just about some of the negative reactions to Keith Lee and his body type and other things that are just like ridiculous. Like, there's nothing, he doesn't have to change anything about himself. But like, Rikishi, Have you heard of Rikishi?
Yeah, I love Rikishi. Yeah.
I'm going to do this just for me. But the Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah, like there we go.
Pounds.
Yeah.
Gigantic. Bigger than Keith Lee. Keith Lee's not even that big.
He's not big. And it doesn't really matter because he's so freaking agile. Like, he's so light on his freaking feet. Like, that's the biggest part that pisses me off about WWE missing, like Mike said. It's like, you had a man who is big, just Vince's type, minus the muscles, you know, who can move. That man can zip around the ring and has good conditioning. So, like, why does it even freaking matter? And then he put him in a singlet because he was offended. Like, a lot of people, I was so excited, like, he was back in trunks. A lot of people were excited he's back in trunks because Keith Lee does a lot for men that look like him.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, like, I really appreciate it. But also, what I did not appreciate on commentary, I think it was Jerry. Jerry the King Lawler. Yeah. No, it was JR or somebody. It sounded like it was JR. Said he's like a young Mark Henry. No, sir, he is not. He's nowhere near a young Mark Henry. Like, what are we talking about? He has nothing like, the only thing that him and Mark Henry have in common are they are big black men. That is literally it. Because Mark Henry in his whole adult wrestling life has never zipped around the ring that Keith Lee zips around the ring. Like,
that's the annoying part for me.
Mark Henry?
Mark Henry.
You know what? I'm not even gonna sit here and
what? Do it. Do it. No, choose violence.
Mark Henry, who only got good on the mic once he was about to fake retire. Like, what are we talking about?
Mark Henry who could only go
7 minutes, like, when he first debuted.
I'm not here to drag him, but actually, here's what I'll say about Mark Henry. One, he does annoy me a little bit with some of his comments about wrestling.
Lots of his comments.
And, you know, we see this with a lot of veterans of that generation where they feel like they need to make comments on things and on people and how they feel. And sometimes it's good and supportive. Like, I believe Mark Henry was maybe part of discovering Bianca.
He discovered Bianca and Braun Strowman.
No, not Jade. But anyway, he's done good things. Good for him.
Yeah.
But you know what? One good promo. He had one great career promo. And then there was, like, the Mae Young sexual chocolate hand baby birth. But, like, we don't talk about that anymore, apparently.
So, anyways, I'm dragging both of them. Because JR, or whoever said it, what the fuck was that? Because that was not an appropriate comparison.
Do you compare Keith Lee to?
Keith freaking Lee. That's exactly who I would compare him to. If we're talking about a big dude who can move, then maybe Brody Lee. That'd be the closest thing I would say. But other than that, you don't need it.
He called him young too.
He said a young Mark Henry. Yes, he said he reminds me of a young Mark Henry, which doesn't make sense because Keith is like 40 something, right?
I mean, and honestly, like, if we're gonna be fair, I mean, I don't know how old he is, but
Mark Henry was not good. He was young, no?
And he's definitely not Mark Henry. But also, like, really, anytime, you know what? I have to get this off my heart. It's like, anytime, like, Mari, if someone looks at you and they're like, you know what, Mari, you remind me of, like, a young, or, like, you remind me of, like, a Jacqueline or a Jazz or Bianca Belair. It's like, you are literally only seeing this person's race. Like, not even thinking about all the other people.
Even though I feel like I was, like, a Jazz when I was younger. But still, like, exactly, like, you're only seeing it. It's especially egregious in this case because they really have no comparisons.
JR doesn't know who, I mean, maybe he knows who Keith Lee is, but he clearly doesn't know him enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so that's our little we got to say something positive, dog. We got to say something positive.
You know, I like the way that JR. What's our next
play? Next topic? Jade Cargill had a really good match against a debuting AQA. who signed with AEW, former WWE superstar, who's most known as she was from Booker T's wrestling house, AQA.
Damn.
She was let go in these most recent firings, and she barely got any time on NXT before she got fired. So good to see her in a match here with Jade. Did some new offense. She really like swung her around for like a sidewalk slam or something.
It was an opposite direction. Reverse sidewalk slam. Maybe that's
what it was really, really interesting looking. So Jade is still perfect at 27-0, mm-hmm. and she seems to only be getting stronger. AQA had her debut match, so all is right in the world. We did get a question about Jay White.
Hold on. Jade is so good. I don't want to go past Jade.
Oh, she is very good. I'm not trying to. Time.
No, I know. Time. But I just want to. Jade is so good. Like, I would just recommend to anyone to go back and watch her matches, because like recently, I went back. I've just like been binging Jade stuff. I find like anytime we talk about Jade, I just go back and like watch of like Jade versus Anna Jade, Jade winning the TBS champion, Jade versus Julia Hart. Like, she is so good. Her pump kick, Mari, she didn't do the pump kick in this match, mm-hmm. but her pump kick is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And her glam slam, AKA Jaded. We love her.
Ooh, yeah, I love a good glam slam. Yeah, exactly. Like, she has definitely progressed. It was a year ago when she had the Shaq match, because we were actually still podcasting. So that's a really good jump there. Like, a really good progression.
Yeah. She's a good person to talk about, because she also, like, she did a tryout for WWE at one point, which I happened to run into, like, randomly. And then apparently, I don't know what's true, but allegedly WWE is interested in Jade. I don't know how true that is, but like, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, and that's what I've heard, but I don't remember where. So don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I wonder when. I wonder when she did the tryout for them.
I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember, but let's say like 5 years ago. I don't know.
That's something, again, Swole had said, if AEW had something like a performance center, like Jade herself, because we're just talking about her right now, she would have made even more leaps and bounds and strides within this past year. She's doing a great job, but could you imagine if all she had was just time to really work on her craft? That would be amazing. And it is something they do suffer from, not having like a home base to really develop some talent, you know?
Yeah. And just to like mention this, that she had a she tried out in April 2019, and apparently she said she turned down WWE after the tryout. So
she turned them down. Okay,
good for her, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we like Jade.
We support wrestlers' decisions. If it's their decisions to make the moves that they make. I completely support that.
And speaking of which, we saw another move take place on AEW with the debut of another wrestler on the show just this past Dynamite. And, you know, in the conversation, we probably won't spend a ton of time on this, but in the Forbidden Door conversation, none other than Jay White showed up over from NJPW to kind of align with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, who actually he like also feuded with in NJPW, and really to attack Trent Beretta. And I don't know. I don't have a ton of thoughts. Like, we're not NJPW people, but I don't know if you have any thoughts in relation. Yeah, we're really not. No. But I will say, like, it was...
Like, people love him.
They love him. But we did get a question, actually, from somebody.
Yeah.
Mari, what's the question?
Oh, yeah, sorry. My bad. So it was more of a comment or question. Am I the only one who isn't excited about the Jay White debut? Like, I saw him do his thing with the Elite and Best Friends, and it was just like, okay. I mean, like... we have no prior, like, I know Jay White. I've heard of him. I haven't seen any of his matches, really, but I know a little bit about the backstory. And to me, it's cool. It's just whatever. They'll continue to build. Is Now, is dropping him in there with the elite and the best friend stuff, that might be a little bit much just because it feels like that storyline has a lot going on. And then they keep adding more people. I feel like it might be getting muddled, but you just never know. They're still just kind of just starting this. So far, so good. I mean, it's not for me. It's not for me. But a lot of people liked his debut.
Well, yeah, but also I think the one thing I really want to say about this is that, like, the way that they did the debut, they had him walk up and it was just an awkward segment because you're seeing the back of this man's head and he has a jacket on, to Switchblade on the back, which is his nickname. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't know who he was. And then they start to say, "That's Jay White. That's Jay White." And it's like, is it Jay White? Is it? Yeah. Who is that? Because it kind of looks like Brian Kendrick from the back. And we haven't talked about Brian Kendrick, but that's a whole other conversation for another day with him and all, you know, very disappointing as a wrestler that I've really enjoyed. But anyway, Jay White appears here and we just see more backstory and more setup. Like, this is kind of a comment that I think we've had about AEW in the past to some extent.
And that's what I said. Like, you know, people will accuse us of being so used to being spoon fed by WWE that, like, I've never understood the WWE does overdo it. Like, they'll show us clips. They're like, "Oh, this is what just happened. It just happened 20 minutes ago. I saw it." You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Like, that feels like a browbeating. But when you have a new character that debuts on screen, you know, I don't think it would hurt to just give a layout a little bit more of the history. But, you know, they like that. It's like, oh, if you know, you know. The girls that know. The girls that don't. You know, they love that style. So, again, it's just, it can be alienating for fans like us who aren't in the know, and we admit we're not in the know for AEW. We admit that.
We are, at least, but we're definitely not in the know for NJPW.
That's true. Piece. Yeah.
And great so, point. Whatever. We'll see where it goes, but not the most spectacular debut. It is what it is.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. So we'll just take a quick ad break before we come back and wrap up the show.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun: Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So we've been kind of trying to talk about NXT 2.0 for like the past like 2 weeks, but we just keep running out of time.
Yeah.
And we'll give it some more time today. But NXT 2.0, even though we haven't been really talking about it on the show, it is still probably my most, like, it's what I kind of look forward to most every week, to be quite honest. And I've always said I like the sports entertainment aspect of NXT 2.0. I love that they're building characters. I like that it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's geared towards fans like me. That's the type of fan I am, you know? And I have no shame in that. And I don't shame anybody else for not liking NXT 2.0. But I just truly love all of the characters on it and all of the character work and all the storylines that they're doing, that it is the one thing that I watch when it's live. So it sucks that we haven't been able to talk about it, but this week we finally got the finals set for the men's Dusty Cup.
Yeah.
MSK put it into BBC's run.
I don't even know what they said that stood for initially.
I don't know either. They just shouldn't have put that out there. But Malik Blade and Idris Enofe's Cinderella run comes to an end at the Dusty Cup semifinal, where MSK goes over to go to the finals for the second straight year in a row. And then the Creed brothers.
Yeah.
Whoa. The Creed brothers versus the Grizzly Young Veterans. That was a match, man. That was a match. I've talked about on here how the Grizzly Young Veterans don't do anything for me. But mm-hmm. The Creed brothers do. Like, I don't know why I like them so much.
I don't know.
Julius and Brutus, right? Creed.
Yeah, Brutus the Barbara Creed and Orange Julius Creed.
They do it for me. I don't understand. But that match was good. It was just hitting each other. It just felt like a Haas match, you know.
I don't think I missed anything, because like we have been watching NXT, even though we haven't been talking about it.
Yeah.
But like I didn't realize that they were such faces. Like people were cheering
mm-hmm.
the heck out of them, like throughout this match. And you know what? I love seeing the just the intensity that the Creed brothers bring too. They just feel fired up.
It was a lot of, like, you know, they have that amateur wrestling background, so all of the slams, all of it just felt like so weighted, you know.
Yeah.
So
I bet they really, like really to like match. Slap each other before the match.
Yeah. Very testosterone-y. That. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's set. So Vengeance, the reason why is because Vengeance Day it's next week. It's next week, Wednesday. Mm. So the semifinals for that, MSK versus Creed Brothers. I would imagine this goes to the Creed Brothers because MSK just won.
Perfect. They're hotter though, right?
They're hot.
Too,
yeah, they are.
Which
yeah.
I wasn't expecting when we started. I was expecting, well, we talked about this, and I think we predicted that this would be the final.
Yeah.
But I just assumed that the Creed Brothers would be huge heels here. And
well, what we haven't been able to talk about for the last 2 weeks that's been on our outline staring at me is their work with Imperium. I think their work versus Imperium had pushed them to that babyface side,
true.
With Malcolm Bivens being excellent as their manager.
With what's his name?
Gunther, which we didn't talk about, but that name goes hard, y'all. I'm sorry, like I get it. Like we all miss Walter, but the way he says it, I'm like, dude, like, okay, now let me back up.
We love Gunther.
Yes. Yeah, and Imperium. And so that's why you have to have the Creed brothers win so that they can face Imperium for the championship.
True.
So it's a done deal. We also got Saray. We finally got Saray's new entrance, and we got her versus Dakota Kai, which is, again, another good match. Dakota Kai is just phenomenal.
Star.
I just want her to break. I want her to shut up. Like, I love Dakota Kai. Just completely lose it mentally. I don't know why I'm advocating for a mental health break here, but that's what Dakota's character is giving. That's what it's giving. But what did you think of Saray's entrance, Matt? Did you see her entrance?
Yeah, I did. And this was like a very inspired entrance. Like I guess I wasn't ready for us to see like this character. And I hate that the comparison Sailor Moon.
But
Sailor
Moon's
come up a lot lately.
I mean, but I think that's the inspiration.
I think so. But
or
I
like
love,
anime in general. That's the inspiration.
Yeah. And, you know, I talked about before Alexa Bliss and liking what they're trying to do with the backstage segments and like the psychologist and just, mm-hmm. I don't know what his degrees are. So maybe he's a psychiatrist. But anyway, like I like this too, because we have an alter ego built in. Like, ooh, Saray. I hope we get this every week. You know, Saray walking up with the little pendant, and it's glowing, and then walking through Did she walk through smoke?
So what happened is Saray clutches the pendant we talked about a few weeks ago. It was like given to her mom, and it's like very like a sunburst-esque type of thing. And they've always done like kind of like the a Warrior of the Sun style gimmick with her, like where her first entrance too. Yeah. Like her first entrance had like a rising sun and smoke and all that. Mm-hmm. Saray, all of that. So she's holding the pendant backstage, what looks like backstage. She's walking towards the stage with the pendant. She's holding it. She's kind of clutching it. She stops. She looks very thoughtful. And then she walks through smoke. It's like from the backstage smoke. And when she comes through the front of the stage, it looks like, it's just all smoke. And she comes out with completely, totally her outfit, her wrestling gear is now on. The pendant is like the emblem on her wrestling gear. And then she even has her hair is colored differently.
What the heck?
Which is really cool. So if you go back to that first picture you had up, Matt, you can, again, you can see, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see all of the pictures and you can follow along with the highlights in the show description and the show notes. Huh. But like, if you go back to that first picture, it's kind of like, it looks like you see how, so she starts with white. She has a bang that has like a white bang and then a piece of like red or pinkish on the side. And then the rest of her hair looks brown. So I think, and if you can tell, it's kind of coming off on her forehead. So it looks like it's probably like temporary spray paint. It's not a permanent dye so that she can go back and forth with the character. Either way, it's really good. I really liked it. I thought this was a great match for her. With the win over Dakota and all that. I like it. Yeah, I do. I like it. I like that they're trying to give her a character. No, so far, it doesn't seem offensive.
I like it. And I mean, I think it didn't even click for me with the Sailor. Well, the Sailor Moon comparisons have been there. But even just this idea of like nerdy woman transforms into this like superhero warrior of the sun type of thing. I love it. I mean, I think that it's different. That's what we want. So
yeah, exactly. So and she's only getting started. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Yes.
And finally we have Mandy Rose versus Kaylee Ray. When they had their match, it was a pretty decent match. It was a good match. Mostly felt like kind of like Mandy running, Kaylee Ray trying to put the moves on Mandy and Mandy kind of like dodging it. But anyways, it was a good match. No matter what, it was a good match. I think it really healed up Mandy. It had the people behind Kaylee Ray. But of course, Toxic Attraction comes in and they cause a disqualification. We got EO. Came out to rescue Kaylee Ray. Earlier in the episode, we had EO talking with Zoe Stark.
Yeah.
Saying like, oh, Zoe really wants EO to find a partner for the Women's Dusty Cup. Have they even had one match for the Women's Dusty Cup? Like, I really don't care about the Women's Dusty Cup, sadly. Yeah. Because it was like Raquel might be teaming with Corey Jade. Now it looks like maybe EO and Kaylee Ray, I guess. I don't know. It's all over the place, especially when we know that basically Indy and Persia are going to win it. Because Toxic Attraction has been trying to come in between like Indy and Persia, and then they already kind of built that feud out. So I can't see anybody but Indy and Persia winning the Women's Dusty Cup. So that's why I think I don't care. And because most of these women's teams are just thrown together because they have no women's tag team division. Yeah. But EO came out for the save. It was cute.
Sure. It just feels a little old because we did see EO in the same spot. I mean, maybe we've seen it a few times for the save in recent months for different people.
Like for Raquel,
but we just saw it for War Games too, where EO was coming out to make the save, and I'm sure that Cora. It also happened with Zoe and Cora. And
how is EO not on the main roster
in
right
the
now?
Middle? How is EO not in the middle of the feud? How is EO not the one? Getting beat up by Toxic Attraction. That's my question.
I really wonder if EO is going to make the jump to the main roster or not.
We'll see, but
we will see. Maybe after WrestleMania, maybe she'll debut after WrestleMania. Because I mean, I get it. There might be no point in debuting right now. You know what I'm saying? When you're on the road to WrestleMania, it's set. The women's matches are basically all set.
They do need more women on the main roster now, though. I feel. Well, I mean, they do, but also they need to also kind of figure out, like, what are they doing with Xia Li? What are they doing with,
right?
I mean,
Carmella and what are they doing with Carmella and Zelina? Like, I want those belts defended at WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, what are they doing? I mean, there are a lot of people, actually.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, so, exactly. So she doesn't really need to be up there right now.
But not right
now. It just feels like she's been treading water for what feels like at least a year now, right?
And I wonder if they... I wonder if what they're thinking, because... Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see where they're going with it, but, like... They have this new NXT 2.0 direction, and it does just seem like she's really elevating the other talent, which it has a place, but that doesn't need to be her place. You know, she is talent. She doesn't need to be there to elevate everyone else.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe she's a mystery competitor. No. Yeah, but again, you know, shout out to Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, who have been just fantastic over the last weeks. The feud with Cameron Grimes has been amazing.
Again, yeah, I shout out Grimes too.
Yeah, I want Carmelo to retain, but the work they are doing, the all three of them are doing on the mic is just amazing. Bron Breakker was supposed to be signing like a contract with Santos from Phantasma. Then Dolph Ziggler walked out. So I have no idea what they're doing with the top title right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, we did just have AJ Styles also there with Grayson Waller. So if this is going to be their thing where they just bring in people to like put over of their other stars / work with them, cute. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I like it. But it just still seems weird. Like,
as you yawn through it, you're like, this is kind of boring. But by the way, you'll appreciate that. Speaking of yawning, I pulled up Wendy Chu. Shout out to her.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Shout out to Wendy Chu. Wendy Chu is amazing. I mean, she's having an okay feud with Tiffany Stratton, who I'm just like, sure, girl, sure. Like,
oh my gosh. We'll talk about them we'll talk about both of them more at some point. There's a lot there.
The only thing I want to say about the Tiffany Stratton character, is that it's nothing new. So it's kind of disappointing.
No, but the fact that it's happening in 2020, well, no, it's really not. But we'll see. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. We'll get there. NXT 2.0 has been doing a fantastic. I was between fabulous and fantastic. A fantabulous job.
Fantabulous.
All right. That's it for the highlights of the week. Thank you for joining us for the highlights of the week. As always, they can be found in your show description or show notes, in your podcast feed, or under this YouTube video. So please feel free to watch and follow along with us. Matt, this has been a great week. So glad we could fly through these topics together. So tell the people what you've been up to.
What? Great question. I've been on the Wrestling Wear Half Up with the one, the only Mari Forth, the EST of RHAP, BuzzFeed's own. And also, by the time you're hearing this, Mari and I we recently went live for RHAP's 12th anniversary, the 12 for 12. And so I hope you enjoyed it. We said some really funny things, but also some really deep things. And, you know, it was really entertaining. And the live that we're going to do in an hour will happen a long time before this episode came out. And then also Pod Friends, which features confessional conversations with the podcasters and people of RHAP. New episode coming out. Last week's episode featured RHAP Out of Context, the Twitter account, which just features quotes of us talking here. What I'm saying right now might be on RHAP Out of Context. They're always watching which it's good to like know that some people are always tuned in. Always, yeah, just like Big Brother. But I actually have a new episode coming out with, it's a Valentine's Day edition.
Yeah.
With two of our former guests who actually came on to the Wrestling Wrap Up last Valentine's Day week, Kevin and Nigel.
Yeah.
And so I interviewed each of them separately and edited it all together. And that will be out on Sunday night. So if you're looking for some love, some loving feelings, some warmth, just in time for Valentine's Day, you could tune into that episode with Kevin and Nigel. And you can follow me at Matt Scott GW, but that's what I've been up to. Mari, I heard that you've been all over the place. You've been talking to the people here. You've been talking to people there. You've been just doing it all. Tell us.
Yes. So last week I was on Nothing But Netflix with the great Sarah Carradine. And of course, Rob Sestanino and, you know, Chappelle was there, I guess. We talked about Murderville, the improv / murder mystery series on Netflix. So we did full spoilers up for the first episode, and the rest of the episodes we didn't spoil, so you can play along with Murderville itself. So go check that out. That was really fun. That was probably, like, no offense to you, Matt, but that was like one of the funniest podcasts I've ever been on in my entire life, mostly because the subject matter, like, we can't get too funny here on WWE because they're like constantly disappointing us.
Seriously.
But you know what I mean, but
yeah,
it was so so funny. So definitely go check that out. I was also on the Married at First Sight podcast with Jason and Asia, which is really fun. We remarked that was the first time all three of us had podcasts together in that way without you.
Oh damn, I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Just the three of us.
You all have been together before.
But it was fun because we were talking about our favorite messiest and like messy reality TV show. So go check that out. You can find that at the robhaswebsite.com/ I think it's love at first sight. That'll give you if you subscribe there, then you'll get Married at First Sight feed and you'll get a Love is Blind feed. So I binged Love is Blind yesterday, and this season is gonna be crazy. I'm so excited. Yeah. But other than that, of course, every week you can find me here on the Wrestling Wrap Up with the great Matt Scott. And if you want to know what else we'll be doing, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number two. And like Matt said, hopefully you came and joined us for the IG Live that we did, that we haven't done, but that we will do.
No, it was great.
So that's it for the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast. Have a happy Black History Month. I hope it's going great for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. But of course, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.
But Black History Month is for everyone, but not everyone's black. Bye.
1, 2, 3. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull a Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexed in the air, huh? Blow my rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.